Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I want to say reading more than influencer watching.
Yeah.
You have to understand what people put on your face. You have to understand the products yourself.
Yeah.
Take it gradual. Not everything going to happen overnight. Don't expect one procedure fix everything.
Right.
It's not going to happen. We cannot fix it overnight.
Hi guys, Stella Ringer here, your chief of Aging Fabulous. And can you believe we're already at season two of our podcast? Zeal Aging Redefined, the podcast continues to inspire women to age with boldness, confidence, and kick-ass positivity. We're here for you to educate, inform, validate that maturity brings strength, wisdom, and superpowers. And we always want to make sure that we have the topics that you want to hear from us. So today we're going to talk about kind of cosmetic surgery and some of the myths we want to demystify with our guest who's an expert in this industry. And we've got Dr. Angelina with us here today. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for bringing me in.
How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm good. I'm, you know, this will be informative and education for me as well. So we're going to get into it in a second, but I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice.
Sure. Well, my name is Dr. Angelina Pastoyev. I'm triple board certified surgeon, and my practice specializes in weight loss surgery, general surgery, and plastic cosmetic surgery. Mm-hmm. I don't do all of it by myself. Mm-hmm. I have about 8 surgeons in my practice in 4 locations in 2 different states. Mm-hmm. And between all of us, we can basically be like one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm. I see.
We can take care of all of you. We can make you lose weight. We can help you get rid of extra skin. We can beautify you, get rid of your hemorrhoids, whatever. We got it. And we are growing. There's a huge need for those practices like ours with mm-hmm. high-tech technologies, mm-hmm. new technologies, mm-hmm. Helping people of all ages, mm-hmm. all ethnicities, mm-hmm. and also people with different insurance status.
Yeah.
So we specialize actually with a lot of our patients are uninsured, underinsured, self-pay, not just for cosmetic surgery, for mm-hmm. any type of surgery.
Okay.
Which
okay.
pretty much very hard to get in regular hospitals.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, I know you've been in Atlanta for a while. And like you said, you have several different practices. And again, we're going to kind of get into demystifying kind of the cosmetic surgery culture, I guess I should say. But before we get into that, I have a question for you that I ask all the guests, because as you know, Zeal Aging Redefined is all about redefining aging mm-hmm. and ensure that we're celebrating it. You know, it's a natural part of life. You can't run away from it. I don't care what you do.
It's just
a natural part of life. And we're going to do this beautifully and gracefully is really kind of our mission, and to provide tips and tools for women 40 plus just so they're educated around things. So the question, though, I have for you is aging out loud. Tell me what aging out loud means to you personally and how it manifests in your life.
Well, I'm probably going to take, I don't know which way I'm going to take it.
That's but okay. Either way.
For me, aging out loud, probably going to have something to do more with an attitude
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
your outlook on life.
Yes.
Rather than physical Correct. Aspect of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, it's just more freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know, more choices.
Yes.
Less care about what people think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's going to mean for me, because physically, I don't want to age.
Well, you know, like I said, it's a natural part of life, so it's going to happen. But at the end of the day, you know, it's whatever's best
for that person,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It's all about I may be a little bit biased. You know,
you're going to be a little biased, which is fine. And let's kind of get into that, Dr. Angelina, as it relates to just this culture around cosmetic surgery. Because I will say, you know, even for me personally, it's like I know the days of Joan Rivers and those types of procedures. And if people want that, that's cool. But I think for me, that's what I've always thought around cosmetic surgery is everybody looks the same. You know, it's like you're not smiling. So how has the culture changed, I guess?
Well, it's culture, but also techniques
okay.
have changed.
Okay.
I think our understanding of beauty standard has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm teaching others, I always really want to remind them that not everybody going to look like the beauty standard that always described in every book.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty standard mm-hmm. was described by, you know, Italian artists, mm-hmm. all the measurements mm-hmm. based on European white face.
Yeah.
It does not fit everybody.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I cannot take a Nigerian girl, make her look like that.
Yes.
It's not going to look cute either,
mm-hmm.
even,
right.
even if I tried.
Yeah.
So it's learning true beauty standards for different ethnicities
mm-hmm.
and also learning how not to overdo things.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Less is more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Less is more.
Less is more
Less
sometimes.
Is more.
Just, you know, I tell it into the other injectors, if you have it on the shelf, don't put it in your face. Mm-hmm. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So more natural beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really feel like we changed a lot with Joan Rivers, even though I'm totally for having surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I just like do that surgery to people.
Yeah.
But we don't pull things the same way. You know, they were kind of over-pulled back in those days. They thought like the more you pull, the better it's going to be.
Mm.
That's not how it is right now.
Yeah. Like you said, I'm sure the technology piece, et cetera, has come a long way. And by the way, I'm a Joan Rivers fan. God rest her soul. But again, that was always just what I saw. Or Miss Chancellor on Young and the Restless. I don't know if y'all watch, but Miss Chancellor, you know, had several facelifts. Yeah. So that was what I thought it was all about. But now, like you said, less is more, more natural. The culture has changed based on really the technology and techniques that
and
have changed.
Also the knowledge with social media, we can learn so much more.
Yeah.
You know, maybe people were doing something more natural because in my opinion, good filler, good Botox is the one that nobody else can tell you had.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So if nobody talks about it, then nobody knows you had it until somebody goes and pulls that face up.
Yeah.
Or puts humongous breast or something like that. Something crazy. You know, the extremes.
The extreme.
But you didn't see the natural work because nobody spoke about it. But now we can actually advertise it. We can educate people about it. We can show it.
Yeah.
We have the platform.
That's right. That's right. And as you think about, again, like you said, just coming of age, if you will, as it relates to kind of this culture, what are you saying? Like women that are coming in that may be 40 plus, what are they asking for? What are they talking to you about or trying to get research around? And I know it differs for everyone, but generally, what are you saying?
A lot of people do want to go non-surgical, so minimizing downtime. Everybody's very busy. Nobody wants to have procedures that would mm-hmm. have them hold up, you know, for 1 month somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's go, go, go.
Yeah.
We also see much younger crowd now coming in because the millennials, or maybe whatever, the younger generation, you know, 20,
right.
30, they don't want to wrinkle. They do not want to move. They want to be frozen.
Wow.
More than the 40 plus population.
Wow.
So 40 plus say, I just want to be natural. I just want to have less wrinkles. I want to have less, you know, visible lines, but it's okay for movement. You know, I need to have my eyebrow. Like how they're going to know I'm mad. Like I need to move that.
Right.
But the younger crowd comes in. I never, ever want to see wrinkle in my face. Freeze me.
Oh, now that's interesting. Now I have heard more and more, you know, younger folks are kind of going in and asking about cosmetic surgery or having it done. But that's interesting that they just totally want to be. Because how do you know
just
your
like plastic,
expression?
Just a doll.
Yeah, like you said, how do you know if you're smiling or how do you show your emotions?
They'll send you an emoji.
We talked about emojis earlier. But yeah, that's interesting that, and it could be the whole social media piece, as you mentioned, where, you know, with someone like me who's 50 plus,
Like, of course, I'm into social media now, but, you know, back in the day when I was younger, wasn't even around. So, right. So maybe they're just seeing it more of, you know, I want to be
truly being influenced by others.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your counsel to them? And I know at the end of the day, it's their decision. But what's your counsel?
I mean, certain things are their decision, but I do turn away some of the patients. If they come in, I feel like their request is unreasonable for their age group or for what they're trying to do, I will turn them away. Mm-hmm. You know, basic things like Botox and filler to a certain degree is fine. You know, younger crowd usually needs a little filler, like in their lips. They want slightly bigger lip, a little plumper. Sure, that's cute. That's fine. Mm-hmm. A little Botox, you know, I usually recommend for everyone to start Botox around 30, 33. That's when we really stop making collagen as much and we start seeing those stationary lines. But for younger crowd, you know, if they feel like they're moving too much, I'm okay doing a little bit baby Botox. But I do try to give them a little counsel and you know, you don't need this. This is normal. This is normal anatomy. This is being female. This, you know, certain things are normal.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to
educate. If they really feel strongly about it, I'm sure they're going to find someone who's going to operate on them.
Right. Yeah.
But I do my best.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So now, why do you think, I know we kind of, you mentioned it earlier around, it's kind of taboo, or it was, about even just talking about cosmetic surgery, right. Even though, you know, people may be researching, and I know that even some women, I've had conversation with them, and they're saying, hey, researching a little, et cetera, but, you know, not really telling the masses, if you will. So why do you think we're a little more comfortable now kind of talking about it, or are people comfortable? I don't know.
It depends on the person, you know, some people are completely comfortable and post it all on social media. You know, they post their journey and they totally fine showing everything. And then, of course, there's always crowd who does not want their husband to know, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Have like Uber driver pretend or something to pick them up.
Well, that's interesting. So you've had some patients where they don't even want their partner.
Sometimes. Okay. It's more rare now. I think right now things are so much more open. I think, again, it's social media and it's just acceptance that this is part of life and we're going to do this. And it's okay to do, you know. And I think it's completely fine to do in the right candidate.
Right. Right.
You have to make sure that you're the right candidate for the right procedure. So I do a lot of teaching and educating about it. But it's a long road because there's a lot of people who try to do surgery just to do surgery.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of misinformation about it out there. Right. So I feel like my job as a surgeon, and I know I share the same views with my partners who do the same thing, to truly educate and not do unnecessary surgery. Because every unnecessary surgery always leads to unnecessary complications.
Yeah.
And I go by that.
I like that. I like that. Those guidelines that you go by. Because, I mean, again, people are coming to you because you are the expert. And I really love what you said about the education and making sure it's the right thing. And you may turn some people away if it's just, you know, not the right thing for them to do. So what about those non-invasive kind of procedures? Could you give us some examples of those? I know like a filler is considered kind of non-invasive.
Minimally, yeah, because we're injecting stuff. But office procedures, like very basic maintenance procedures are great. I feel like it's a great tool, again, in the right hands with the right restraint. I always believe that the doctor should be able to do the full spectrum. So I can, when somebody comes in, I can say, okay, for you, we can do non-surgical. For you, I can do something in between. And for you, you need the whole thing. If somebody only does one thing, they're always going to recommend to you that one thing. So you have to be conscious of that and understand that if you're going to a smaller place, and it's nothing bad about smaller place, but you have to know that sometimes you might have to find several providers for yourself. Because if place only does Botox and fillers, you're only going to get Botox and fillers.
Right. Right.
If place has only one laser, you're always going to get offered that same laser. I mean, it's basic finances.
Yeah.
If you go to a place that have several things that they can offer to you, they can offer everything. So the non-invasive stuff is great as preventative measure. That's why I like to start fillers maybe in 40s, Botox a little earlier to try to prevent it.
Gotcha.
So if we doing some stimulation on the skin to produce more collagen, elastin, you'll hear it in any skincare, any kind of cosmetic things, producing collagen, elastin, stimulating collagen production, because we stop making it after 30. For most of us, some of us are luckier genetically than others. Some people don't make those wrinkles. But idea is to stimulate. How are you going to stimulate those collagen and elastin production? That's different procedures, lasers, microneedling, different type of microneedling procedures. All of that is made to improve quality of skin.
Got it.
And fillers improving underneath the skin.
Gotcha.
Right? It fills up the empty spots because we lose volume as we get older. We want to fill certain things up. But again, not to overfill.
Yeah.
If the envelope is too big, then we'll have to cut the envelope.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Right. Exactly. We don't want to keep filling it to make it bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
At some point, we need to cut.
Right.
And so those non-invasive procedures are great for me for maintenance. I mean, that's what I've been doing to myself. I'm still 25.
She's 25.
I'm 25,
guys.
The last 20 years.
So, which was, you just mentioned something which was interesting. There are some procedures external, like you said, which were the, was it the
laser?
Lasers.
Okay, okay. Yeah,
they're
different.
And the injections, of course, more internal. Do you prefer one over the other? Again, it depends on the person, I know, but from a medical kind of perspective?
It's not one or the other. Same as it's not filler or Botox. It's both. It's all three. Because everything does slightly different thing, right? As we lose volume and things kind of start to slide down with gravity, we need to fill them back up. That's filler. But if your skin is wrinkly and maybe has discoloration and sun damage, well, filler not going to help that.
Right, right.
So it's not one or the other. Okay. It's everything.
I gotcha. And then what about, because you hear about this a lot, the crepe scan.
Like crepey skin?
Crepey scan. Yeah,
no,
can you give us...
concept for you.
Thankfully. But explain that to
it's
us.
It's just aging skin that's really losing a lot of collagen elastin. So you start seeing, it's not necessarily a wrinkle, like when we make a face wrinkle, it's the whole skin is very, very crepey. It's it's just thin. A lot of times if you touch, it's like paper thin. I know that as a surgeon, I don't like working with that kind of skin because sewing it together is kind of hard.
Wow.
So again, that's the skin. It's usually sun damaged skin, you know, skin that really took a lot of damage over the years.
Okay.
And aging, it happens. So you start seeing that in somebody of any generation, basically, once we get over like 80, it catches up to people and it's really that's just very thin skin.
So it just gets, I guess, as we age, it just gets thinner.
Thinner, less collagen formation. Yeah. So the best thing is to prevent it from happening.
Yeah.
But if it's already there, you know, a few things we can do again, some lasers, some stimulation procedures. If we do surgery on patient, let's say to cut off extra skin, usually I still do or recommend something for the skin quality, still some kind of again, stimulation. You know, I don't want to say any particular brand names because there's so many out there.
Exactly.
There's, you know, so many CO2 lasers. There's so many microneedling machines. You know, every company has their own. It really doesn't matter. If you trust your doctor, you talk to them what they have.
Yeah. And then kind of go from there.
Right.
And see, and I didn't even know microneedling. I just thought that was for your brows.
Well, they use almost like a microneedling for ombre brows, the pigment, pigmenting. It's kind of like a tattoo.
Okay.
But microneedling, they're different. There's mechanical microneedling and then those radio frequency type of microneedling.
Okay.
So microneedling is basically a whole bunch of little needles penetrate your skin.
Okay.
And
wait a minute, you put the needles
into the skin. But it's like a little machine. It's almost like a little sewing machine. But there will be like 12 needles at the tip of the device. And those needles go in and out, in and out, in and out.
Oh, so like
around. You move them around, but the needles go in and out. And every time they penetrate the skin, they're causing injury on purpose. We want those little micro channels to form.
Okay.
And as your body tries to heal them, it will make more collagen. We heal our wounds by making more collagen in them. And so those little tiny needles will have to heal. And a lot of times we'll add extra serums or your own PRP or exosomes now, which is basically a whole bunch of healing factors that penetrate through those little channels deeper into your skin to help it heal better.
Does that hurt?
We'll numb you up.
She said no numb, so.
We'll numb you up. And then we take that microneedling to next level. So microneedling, needles penetrate, and then we deliver energy through those needles. So like a little zap, a little heat.
Okay.
And that stimulates that production of collagen even further, and maybe it gives a little tightening as well. On microscopic levels, nothing major.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we can kind of recreate, or I don't know if recreate is the right word, for collagen. Like we can help it stimulate.
For your body to know, oh, I got to go over there and fix that.
Okay.
And it's kind of a reminder for your body to get there and start fixing those little holes, and we'll make hundreds of them, right?
Okay.
Thousands probably, because every time we penetrate, it's not one needle, it's like 40, 25, different devices, different number of needles.
Okay.
And we do it over and over and over again.
Okay.
And so it's all that microscopic healing that needs to happen.
Wow.
And so your body goes and fixes it, and it improves your skin quality, gets more glow. You know, if there's a pigmentation that we didn't like, it tends to fix that as well, because all those healing cells comes and starts just cleaning that whole area up.
So your body is kind of healing itself through that. Okay.
Yes.
Learning a lot. And you mentioned just a few minutes ago about like facial expressions here. So I've always thought, I've always kind of thought too, like wrinkles are wrinkles, right? Fine lines are fine lines. But sometimes your facial expressions can cause that.
Absolutely. That's what make wrinkles.
Okay. Okay. Because
it's your muscles underneath. You know, our muscles are very expressive, right? And depends what you, like, you talk with your forehead. You know, I used to have this thinking wrinkle when I was a kid. Because my mom would come up to me and go, stop that.
Stop that.
Well, I was little. I remember.
Stop that thinking.
Stop that thinking. You're going to have a wrinkle there. Like, literally, I was like a kid.
Okay. And you said I talk with, what'd you say?
Forehead.
With my
forehead. People do the forehead thing. Some people do the thing, right? Some people do the mouth thing where they kind of go, and they curl the mouth down. So it depends on your expressions and your manner of speaking.
Okay.
You're going to have different way you're going to create the wrinkle. And over the years of doing it over and over and over again, it's like a piece of plastic that you're going to do this to all the time. And eventually you get that deep crease where that happens. But it happens because your muscle underneath the skin is moving.
Okay.
And skin attached to the muscle. So with that, you're going to get the wrinkle.
So I see why I started up here, because that I guess I talk
You think a lot.
Okay. I talk with my forehead. Okay.
So over time, it just adds up.
Yeah.
And then smile lines, same thing, the little smile lines that go this way, because with smile, they're good lines. They're happy lines.
Yeah.
They're smile lines, but some people don't like them if they get too deep.
Yeah.
So same thing. That's why we do Botox or similar medication around the eyes to soften those muscles, so when you smile, they don't crinkle as much. So we can use Botox for a lot of those expressions.
Okay. And so, then the parentheses, I've heard they're called parentheses around here, right? Is that from smile?
Some of them. Some of it is smiling. And as we get older, sometimes our cheeks kind of go down a little bit. Our volume starts to slide down. And so these become more prominent.
Got it.
So these we have to actually, this is the filler. That's where we have to put the filler back up in your cheeks to bring the these lines up. But we have to remember that smile lines are normal.
Yeah.
A lot of people come in and they try to really get rid of their smile lines here. They don't want it at all.
Oh, you don't.
And it doesn't look cute. So I always have to remind people, I was like, it's like we can make them less pronounced. Maybe if there's a deep wrinkle inside the smile line, we can soften that up. But we don't want to get rid of it because that's your face.
Right. That's
like, how am I going to recognize you?
Like,
it's not natural not
unless
to have
you just unless smile. You're a person that just
unless
never ever
baby.
Ever smiles.
Right. If you're a baby, you know, babies smile, they don't have the kind of full, but they have the baby face.
Yeah.
But for adults to have that baby face is freaky.
Yeah.
So, and then very deep marionette lines, this is the lines go from the mouth down here. That's from So there we can do a little Botox to soften that out. And then if it's already visible, then I can do both Botox and filler too. Smooth that out.
Okay.
So it's a combination of things.
And it's the muscles behind, like you said, the skin is attached to the muscles. So interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you think the biggest myth about cosmetic surgery is that you've kind of heard or had a question around?
Well, there are a few. I mean, we all heard a myth about implants, that you have to redo them every 10 years. That's not true. Mm-hmm. We all heard that facelift will make you not be able to move your mouth. Also not true. If it's done correctly, you should look very natural and like yourself, just younger version of yourself. We all heard that Botox, if you do neurotoxin of any sort, Botox is a neurotoxin. If you do
What's a neurotoxin?
Well, botulinum toxin originally is a neurotoxin. So it's actually made by bacteria. And if, for example, a baby eats part of that neurotoxin, usually found in honey, baby can become a floppy baby. That's what we learn in medical school. Floppy baby, paralyzed baby, basically, cannot breathe. But that's huge amounts.
Yeah.
But the little tiny versions of that botulinum toxin is what we inject.
Okay.
And it paralyzes your muscle temporarily.
Right.
So usually it's about 3 months. And by doing that, you are unable to move the muscle. You cannot move the muscle. You cannot make a wrinkle and so on.
Okay.
So the rumor out there was that if you start using Botox, then as soon as you stop, you're going to like age 25 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, like it's going to make things worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It just takes you back to where you used to be.
To where you were.
Once it wears off and you start moving your muscles again, you're back to where you started. But I think people feel like, you know, for the 3 months that you couldn't move, you look smoother, you look younger, right? And all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you see the wrinkles from 3 months ago and you're like, whoa, too much.
Right.
So it doesn't make things worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is a lot of rumors out there. I think the idea is just really to try to talk to somebody who understands how it works, who's not going to overdo it just because you want to pay money. I've seen that.
Okay.
Somebody comes like, I need filler. It's been 3 months. I need filler again. It's been 3 months. I'm like, well, fillers. Once you get to a happy place in the filler, you do it like once a year, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't do filler every 3 months. Well, my other place used to do that. I was like, you kept paying money. That's
right. Exactly.
So don't just trust everybody blindly.
Okay. So, yeah. So, again, like you said, first of all, you have to be educated and you got to research things because sometimes it's just a little much. And I understand to each his own, whatever you want to do, that's fine. But your recommendation and kind of last question before we get into a little game here is if people are looking for answers and want to research, et cetera, what's the best path for them to take?
I want to say reading more than influencer watching.
Yeah.
You have to understand what people put on your face. You have to understand the products yourself.
Yeah.
You know, yes, your friend might have had this and the other friend might have this. And because people will take advantage of you sometimes. And if you don't understand what's being placed in your face or in your body, you might not like the result. So you really have to understand it and take it gradual. Not everything going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
You didn't get, let's say if you're 15, you got never, you know, have wrinkles, never had anything done to you and you come up. We cannot fix it overnight.
Yeah.
It's going to be a gradual process. Give it some time. Be prepared for it. Or better yet, start earlier. But if you already got 20 years behind, don't expect one procedure fix everything.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So a little bit at a time. Be patient. And read.
Yeah. Research. I mean, just like we research anything, guys, you know, you research even if you're having some type of surgery or whatever. Or, you know, if you have a new boo, you go research that person. So anything that we do, again, to your point, we just need to make sure education is the key.
Absolutely.
Is the key. Thank you. This has been really informative. Appreciate it. Now, we got a little game, though, before we end. We're going to end here in a second. And it's called Crush. It's a good one. Crush the Negativity. Okay. So what it is I'm going to say a word, question, or phrase that maybe society has deemed negative as women age. And then I want you to flip the script and say something positive about it. So an example that I've used before is menopause. And then I would say a natural part of life. So I'm just going to say a word or a phrase. It's easy.
Lucky Noise speaking to a Russian, right?
I want you to flip the script. Okay, this is something we kind of just talked about. Wrinkles.
Can be fixed with Botox.
Ah! Somebody else said that too. Okay, okay. That's what you, that's cool.
To me, it's positive.
Yes. I get it. Okay. Let's see. You know, you look good for your age.
Thank you. But I did it myself.
I always have to expound on that because it's like, that's one of the questions like that kind of irks me. Because it's like, you're saying, well, how am I supposed to look at this age? When it's like, oh, you look good for your age. So, yeah.
I'll say just thank you. That's great.
There's a way.
It's the pause.
It's the pause, like, for your age. So, okay, last question. Don't you think you're too old to wear that now?
Oh, no. Don't get me started on that.
Okay. Expound, please.
Follow me on Instagram. You'll see what I mean.
You're like, follow her on Instagram.
This is how I go to work.
Oh, and I love the boots.
This is how I operate on you. Yes, so I don't feel like there is age-appropriate attire. I feel like it's a societal concept. So wear whatever you want.
Yeah, as long as you feel good in it.
As long as you feel comfortable. Now, if I tell you, girl, cover it up, you just come to me, I'll fix it, and you can wear whatever you want.
But you're right. You know, as long as
I think it's cultural, certain obviously cultures have something more appropriate than the others. Mm-hmm. I think we do have to have a concept of, you know, maybe more respectful to whatever you're going. Like you're going to church, you know, maybe throw some on. But everywhere else, no, don't tell me age has a factor to it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you, Dr. Angelina. Again, this was great. I appreciate you being here. We'll have to have you back on again.
Absolutely.
And continue to, again, demystify kind of the myths around this. So, because you know, you're killing it. You guys are like you said, you're continuing to grow in your practice. So it looks like people are asking and researching about this particular topic. So it's great that there are doctors like yourself that really care about the patient versus just, you know, doing it to take the money or whatever.
So yeah, watch out for those.
We appreciate that. Yes, watch out for those. Well, thank you, Zeal family, for joining us for this episode. As always, join us each week as we have real talk conversations around the aging journey. Zeal, Aging Redefined, your go-to for aging fabulous. Bye.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.